Now, this session is going to be a more of a learning session. So there will be a lot of thoughts that come and Bible passages that we'll be looking at again. There will be application as well. This is more of a lecture, just so that we know the kind of format that we're going to have. Because I hope, and it's so great for me to be able to see a lot of the young people out, because I hope that this will help develop in you, young people, a biblical worldview, a life of faith, living under Jesus Christ, even in this area that you will be so inundated with more and more as you grow up, are right now, and as you develop in life. You are our future generation, and God is blessing you and helping you to grow in the faith of Christ. And you need to learn how to live for Him in the social media world that we have. And not only, of course, our young people, but we who are adults, who are older, who also use social media, this will be for us as too. Because we need to be reminded as well. It's been a joy for me to be here, and I'm so thankful again for your kind words and your kindness to me. Let's read Romans chapter number 14, and then we'll pray. We're going to read verses 1 down to the end of verse number 9. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our souls today. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, all of life is under you. You made this world. You are God over time. We know that you know the amount of hair that we have upon our heads. You know each strand, have them numbered. We also know that you know the number of stars in the sky, and you give each of them a number, a name as well. And so thank you, Lord, for your great power, your great sovereignty, your great creation. And we pray that you would help us as Christians who are saved by your grace through your Son, to learn to live in the world that you have made in joy and happiness and thanksgiving for your glory, using everything to your honor, sanctifying time for your praise, using the things that you give to us in our homes for your honor and blessing. Oh Lord, help us to do this. And we pray that this lecture this afternoon would help us, and that may it be to your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of this session is Technology, Texting, and Serving Jesus Christ. And did you notice that I bring technology and social media and serving Jesus Christ together? And I do that because of passages such as we read in the book of Romans in chapter 14. We pick it up in verse number 5, where we learn about how to live together making sure that we don't pass judgment on one another, but making sure that we live all of life to God's glory with thankfulness. We learned about thanksgiving and gratitude in our last lecture. And so we realize that as people united to Christ, in union with Him, born again, that we are to be people with gratitude and thankfulness. And so it says in verse 5 that one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. What should they be convinced of? Well, this, that whatever you do, whatever day you observe, that you do it as unto the Lord, that you eat in honor to the Lord, since you give thanks to God, and then while another one abstains, he abstains in honor to the Lord as well, giving thanks to God. Because none of us live for ourselves, and none of us die to ourselves. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And so all that we allow in our Christian lives is to be done in faith, under God, for His glory and the good of others. If we are alive, we're to live for the Lord. When we die, we're going to die in the Lord as Christians. Now, the application for that particularly is this, that when we are alive, we do many things, including using technology and social media. So if we're going to live as Christians, we need to live unto the Lord, particularly if we're going to live using technology and social media, we need to use those things unto the Lord for His glory and His honor. Because for this end, Christ died and rose again for our salvation, that whatever we do it unto the Lord. And remember, Christ died and rose again for us to capture us for Himself, to take us to Himself. So now we're His. And so again, whatever we do it unto the Lord now, because we're His, not our own. Our bodies are His. Our souls are His. So they truly do belong together. That is, social media and technology and serving Christ truly do belong together. As believers, we are in the Lord, the Christ who is Lord over all things. And thus, as Vern Poitras put it, we are to serve Christ all the time in all of life with all our heart and with gratitude. Well, serving Christ as Lord includes using technology and social media under Him, because they are His gifts after all. They're not ultimately Apple's gifts to us or IBM's gift to us. Ultimately, they are God's gift to us. And so this is my defense for this title. And so let's get to the material. We want to look, first of all, at the reality of technology and social media. We want to look, secondly, at the repercussions of technology and social media. And then thirdly, we want to look at serving our Redeemer with technology and social media. Let's begin with the reality of technology and social media. First of all, we want to understand something, that it is global. Smartphones, iPhones, PCs, laptops, Wi-Fi access is so completely integrated into the global culture that you can go almost anywhere in the globe and have access to the Wi-Fi, have access to your Pinterest, have access to your Facebook, and so on. As a culture, Mary Swingle called this iCulture. We have an iCulture, an internet culture. And there are so many statistics that show this, that you can find them very easily on at your local library or on the web. If you just Google it, you can find the statistics to show how global technology and social media is. But now we come to something important, that it is from God. Our digital age is not here by chance. It wasn't concocted by Satan in the one room in the depths of hell somewhere to spoil our young people. It was a gift, and it has come to us from God. It is God's will. So we have to talk about technology and God. Having a theology that is a God-centered view of technology will help all of us here at whatever age that we find ourselves to remember God when we use technology and social media. And remember, remembering God is so important for our life of gratitude and love and faith so that we handle our lives properly. So having a theology of technology helps us to remember God when we hear our iPhone ring or when we use our computer at home. So let's learn this theology for a little bit this afternoon. Here's the first point. God created the world and it was filled with a potential for technology. So let's go to Genesis chapter number 1. We want to read a few verses here. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28. There we read this. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10 through 15. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided, and it became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bedlam and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took man and put him in the garden to work it and to keep it. And then jump down to verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. Now we know that God put Adam and Eve into the garden to keep it. But we also know from this text in Genesis 2 that God put minerals into the ground for mankind to dig out and then to use. And we know from Genesis 1 that God gave to mankind dominion over all the earth. So the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the minerals in the ground itself was to be used under the call of God. Man was to use it under the call of God. And so, of course, the technology to use the ground, to get the minerals out of the ground, to purify the minerals in order to use it, that technology would have to be invented. And the Lord God did put mankind in the garden to keep it and to have the wisdom to name the animals, to compartmentalize the animals. In other words, God gave man the wisdom to use technology. And of course, this technology came. God endowed mankind with knowledge and wisdom to invent, to put God's creations together in such a way to make useful tools. So we know that your iPhone is not magic. God allowed mankind to have the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of static electricity and the understanding of all those small chips to be able to put it all together to work in a wonderful way. Secondly, we need to learn that God is sovereign over every human technology. So God gave technology. He created the world and filled it with that potential of technology. And God is sovereign over every human technology. Let's think of Babel. Babel meant all their technology for evil. The people came together and they were going to build a tower to God and built this awesome city. But they meant it for evil. But God was sovereign and scattered the people. Think also of the Roman technology of crucifixion. If you study the Roman civilization in the first century, the crucifixion was an advancement in technology and how they tortured. Yet God used the cruelty of the Roman cross to bring forgiveness to His people. Technology, even in the hands of the evilest intention of man, is never outside the overruling plan of God. And we can see that a number of times in the Bible where technology is used in a rebellious way, and yet at the same time, God can use sin sinlessly, and He used those situations to actually advance His gospel. We also need to learn that technology is a great consequence in God's world. Technology is a great consequence in God's world. Technology refashions creation. Just ask a guitar player. The musician who makes his guitar refashions wood, refashions steel, brass, to make the instrument. Technology also pushes back the results of the fall. The fall has made life hard. So we have bad eyesight, but I am very thankful for the technology of glasses. It pushes back the result of the fall. We have pain in childbearing. But those ladies who are here who have had child, you understand the blessing of some of the modern medical advancements that we have that help you bear the pain and difficulty in childbearing. We have weeds as well. And as my brother, who is my friend here, can tell you, that we have great technology to push back the weeds. Well, God's gift of technology helps us live in a fallen world. Heart surgery, hearing aids, weed-killing technology, and so on, all shows us that God, in His grace, has given us this kind of technology to help cope with the results of sin. And we're very thankful for that. Another consequence of technology in God's world is that technology opens up human power. It opens up human power. Technology can become a tool for humans to gain power over other humans. We have atomic weapons. We have arms races. We have bigger and better guns that people can purchase and get, or nations can get, and that can cause a power struggle. And you know this, you can use social media for power and control over others very easily. All you need to do is have one nude picture of a young girl, and someone can grab it and blackmail you. If you don't do this, I'll send it all through my school. So technology does, in our fallen world, open up avenues of power. Technology is often used for evil ends. That goes after my first, that above point. Technology itself is not inherently evil, but it tends to become the way people rebel against God and set up their autonomy. And this is, we have to be very careful about this. Technology is not inherently evil, but it tends to become the way people rebel against God and set up their autonomy. We think of the Tower of Babel. It used the technology it had to go against God. Think of World War II Germany and the horrors Nazism perpetrated. And they used state-of-the-art technology to do it. And think of the pedophiles today. They use social media. The predators use social media. And it's often used for evil ends. Another impact of technology in our world is this, that technology shapes every relationship. Every technological progress changes the way we relate to the world and the way we relate to each other. We can think of the camera. The camera that came out, and people began to change and how they related to each other. They began to put on makeup and make sure that they looked nice so that they could give themselves for the camera. As that camera developed and increased, now we have it in our iPhones. So we have to be careful. Are you going to take a picture of me? Is that picture of me going to be used against me? Why did you put that up on Facebook? You didn't get permission from me. I didn't tell you you could put that up on the Facebook, and on it goes. We think of the Model T car and how it changed our relationship with one another. A Model T car comes out, and all of a sudden there's the rich people who have a car, and then there's the people who still have horse and buggy. And it created conflict and it created stress. And then, of course, you have texting and sexting, and you have all of these things that occur that affect relationships. And so here we recognize that theology is real. It's global. It is from God. God created it, created the world with potential for it. God is sovereign over human technology. This technology, though God is sovereign over it, has consequences in our world, which we have described. So technology is a reality in the world in which we live. But then we have to talk about the repercussions of social media and technology. In this technological age, information, friends, music, pictures, books, shopping, and so on come to our eyes, ears, and brains easier than and faster than ever before. And there are repercussions to this, both good and bad. So let's take the good first. Communication is so easy and it's so convenient. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. I texted my daughter just before I came to the services this morning and said goodbye to her and hope that she has a great day at work. What a great thing. It's easy and convenient. Children can text their friends, say an encouraging word. They can text their parents to tell them where they are. Secondly, it can cheer you up. When someone sends you an encouraging text or a post, there is cheer. Or whenever you're discouraged, perhaps in your Christian life, and you go to your Facebook page, and then one of your friends or your pastor posts an article that really encouraged you, and you read it. Another good repercussion of technology and social media is increased possibilities in education. Another good repercussion is it's a great writing platform. If you like to write, you can write your works and you can put them online and they'll be public for people to read. There are cost-cutting benefits for businesses who use technology and social media as well. Another good repercussion is that it helps police agencies fight crime. And we also know this, another good repercussion is that it helps build communities. This very conference was advertised online. You could register for this conference online. This registration program, it had a reminder, so it sent people reminders that the conference was coming. As soon as if you registered that way, then it sent you a reminder so that you wouldn't forget. And it built this community. Your church has a website. It advertises prayer meetings. It advertises the sermons, etc., etc. You understand the point. And then maybe you, as a family, the Barches have your Barch website, or the DeBoers have the DeBoer website, or the Shirouses have their Facebook page, and so on. And so it builds community in many ways. So there are good repercussions to this technology. But there are bad repercussions as well, and we need to be aware of them. One is, social media can splinter relationships. You can break up good relationships because of on-my-device time, children and young people. You can really ruin your relationship with the parents that God has given to you because you cannot get off your device. Human relationships are human relationships made for eye contact on a normal scale and made for verbal hearing. The device cannot increase your relationships with the people that are present with you if you stay on your device and don't look up. Or if you bring your device to supper time and your device is ringing and your father or your mother are trying to have family worship and it keeps ringing and ringing and so on, and then you've got to check your device. Or dads, if you bring it to family worship and you're hooked on it and you're trying to have family worship and something goes on in your device, it really, really strains relationships. Our devices and social media can take us away from family. It can take us away from church friends. It can take us away from developing good courting relationships between a young man and a young lady. It can splinter relationships. It doesn't have to. It can help build relationships. It doesn't have to splinter relationships. But remember, in order for you to use it wisely, you have to use it under Jesus Christ. Second bad repercussion of technology and social media is distraction. Some psychologists and pastors have said many using today's technology have become addicted to distraction. The impulse to watch a video on Facebook or on YouTube, to spend time looking up this recipe or that pair of shoes and so on, is really real. People get an angst about it. They've got to know the latest deal that comes across Staples on their website, or they've got to understand what's going on over there with this situation. You use your phones as an alarm. You get up. What do you do? If you use your phone as an alarm and you get up, is the first thing you do look at Facebook or your Pinterest or some other site? You see, that can be an indication that it is distracting you and taking you away from what would be important. It's always very healthy in your Christian life, by way of practical application. It's always very helpful to have your devotions first before anything. Prayer and Bible reading, to get your mind focused on the Lord. But it is a distraction. Another bad repercussion is this. Internet and social media can be addictive. There is internet and social media addiction. Remember what addiction is? Addiction is a state of compulsion, obsession, or preoccupation that enslaves a person's will and desire. It's bondage, and this terrible bondage is now increasingly in the social media world. And I don't know many of you personally. Some of you I do know personally, but I would hate for you to be addicted to social media. We who are older, and some of us who are in ministry, have seen what addictions do to people, and social media is no different. It can do terrible things to you. And then another and last bad repercussion is increased anxiety. Some are trapped in the need to feel wanted, the need to feel indispensable, the need to stay connected. And this angst grows on them to where we see it so common today. And I don't have the answers for it, but I do ask myself a question. Why are we always holding on to our phone? We're always holding on to our phone. Now, you might have your phone on your person, and older people who use social media, by and large, either have their phone in their purse, if you're a woman, or have their phone on, you know, maybe a pouch or something on their side. But younger generations, they walk around always with their phone. They check it, right? They check it. There seems to be an anxiety that they always need to check it. So that's something that we should be aware of. So we've looked at the reality of social media, We've looked at the repercussions of it, good and bad. So I'm not here this afternoon saying, okay, let's get rid of our iPhones. Let's get rid of Google. There is no going back. I'm not doing that. I just want us to be aware that technology is from God. It can be used for good. It is a gift from Him. But mankind and his sin can twist it and misuse it. And only Christ and His grace can help us to remember to use it rightly. So let's now talk about serving our Redeemer with technology and social media. The first thing I want to bring out to shore up this point is this. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. You are a covenant child, holy unto the Lord, and called to believe in the one to whom your baptism constantly points. And here the text, if we can go there again, is in 1 Corinthians and chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, where Paul encourages us to flee from sexual or immorality. The primary message is that our bodies are the Lord's, and that body is not to be used for sexual immorality. But the biblical principle stands fast, and the principle is found in verse number 14. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? God forbid. We are the Lord's. His sign is upon us. His name is written on our lives. Our minds, our bodies are God's. And so by faith, remember, when you use the internet or social media, you are using it as a child of God's promise, a child who has received the gospel and heard the gospel, a child who's been born again and united to Christ, a child who has the promises given to him that he is set apart unto the Lord, a member of Christ's church, his fingers, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his feet, her fingers, her eyes, her mouth, her feet. They are the Lord's. And so again, I ask you, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Have you faith in Jesus Christ and are you united to the Lord? Are you baptized? Well, then you're a member of God's covenant community. So your fingers are baptized fingers. So again, when you're going to use your phone, remember who you are. You're Christ's. Secondly, remember you are to do all to the glory of God. We're going to look at a number of passages on this point, but to begin with, I want you to remember what it means to glorify God. To glorify God means to extol, praise, and honor God by acknowledging Him as the true Lord. But that is not all. Connected to this is the glory of the children of God. God has chosen us to glorify Him. In other words, God has chosen to be glorified through us. And throughout the Bible, when we glorify God, it includes something very important. It includes our using all in this world that He has given to us, whether it be wine or whether it be a car or whether it be social media, to use it to His honor. It's remembering that this is a gift of God to me to use for His honor, to use it His way, to use it in love for Him and in love for other people. It's a stewardship of godliness. It's being very careful to recognize and to be so heavenly minded that the things we're given is to be for His honor. That is saying, we say this, God, you are my Lord in this, and I will use this the way you, God, want me to use it. And there are principles in God's word to show us how we are to use everything that God gives to us. Let's look at this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And we're going to read verse 23, beginning verse 23 through to verse 33. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? For whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews, or to Greeks, or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. What you do with and how you use the things in the culture that are not necessarily forbidden by the Lord, in this context it's meat offered to idols, what you use in that culture must be done to the glory and praise of God and to the good and benefit of others. You use it in a way that shows that God is Lord. And God is Lord in this way, that we use it for His honor, but we use it for the care of others as well. And you partake of it with thankfulness as we come and as we see again in verse number 30. So, the things that we use that are given to us, which are not necessarily forbidden, like social media or the internet or technology, has to be used for the glory and praise of God and for the good of other people. With something else, remember, with thanksgiving to God. Remember the last sermon. With gratitude. With gratitude. Let's look at another passage, Colossians chapter number 3. If you turn there to Colossians chapter number 3, and verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Notice verse 17. The gospel brings the command of God and freedom to do all we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is union with Him, being together with Him. All we do is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. All we do, how we cook our meals, how we dress ourselves and how we buy our clothes, all that we do is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, including how we use technology and social media. And when we do it in His name, to His glory, remembering He is present with us and we are present with Him, this spreads God's glory. Because when you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, you won't be bullying on your phone. You won't be looking at pornography on your phone. When you're doing it to God's glory, you will spend a proper amount of time on the phone and not an excessive amount of time. I know that this is hard, but you see, it does require self-discipline. And even before that, it requires a fundamental question: who am I? I am a Christian, and all of life centers on the Lord. And everything is underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ, including this aspect of social media, which can be so private, because the phone is so small, and you can go to the bathroom and look at your phone. You can go in the woods and look at your phone, and people don't even maybe know what's on your phone. But the Lord does. And we have to bring everything underneath Him. This is who we are. This is freedom, by the way. This is freedom of the Christian man. We shall know the truth in Christ, and the truth shall set us free. Where we will not be ashamed to let anyone have our phone, because there's nothing questionable on it. And then the other thing I want us to remember when we're seeking to be practical here and using media under Christ's name is this. Not only, number one, to help you and help me with our memory, that we should remember our baptism. And when we do that, it'll help us to serve our Redeemer with technology and social media. Number two, not only do we need to remember that we should do all to the glory of God, but number three, remember to worship God every Lord's Day. And on the Lord's Day, during worship, turn off your phone. Why do I say that? Because worship realigns us. Worship realigns us. It's the Sabbath day. It's a Lord's Day. It's a day of rest. Have you ever tried that? If you say, you know, on the Lord's Day, I'm shutting my phone off. It's amazing what might happen. Now, I know that many people bring their phones to church. I understand that. And I'm not here trying to be a legalist to try to say don't bring it. But it is the Lord's Day, particularly worship, is a word-centered activity of hearing and preaching. And Christian fellowship is a bodily space activity where we're together looking at one another, fellowshipping with one another, partaking the communion where we, not with the phone in virtual reality, but with our actual hands, pick up bread and drink wine. So it becomes a physical thing. And the Lord's Day in worship is a physical thing. So what we ought to do is we ought to really pray about this and say, Lord, on the Lord's Day, how should I use it? Should I look up the scores on the hockey? Should I look up the latest news situation? Should I read my favorite blog? What should I do on the Lord's Day? I say that as a question for you to think about so that you might do it to God's glory. Another way that we use and serve Christ with social media is remember to use your words wisely. You will have to give an account for everything you tweet, everything you text or post. Jesus told us very plainly in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, it reads, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, we know that we're saved not by how we speak. We're saved by Christ alone, through faith alone, on his merits alone. But true saving faith brings forth good works, including the good works of speech. If our speech is not good works, and a speech is always wrong and raunchy and bad and condemnatory, is there true saving faith in our lives? That's what's being said here. For every careless word, we will give an account, for by your words you will be justified. In other words, the good works of your words show evidence of your true saving faith. But if there's just bad words, it's an evidence that there's not true saving faith. And we think of Proverbs 16 and verse number 23. In Proverbs 16, the proverb says a lot about how we use our words. It says in verse 23, "The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips." So we need to remember that we should use our words wisely in our use of technology and social media. And here's some advice from Ligonier Ministries to help us. Ask yourself these questions before you post. Ask yourself, if my mother, pastor, spouse, or children were to read this, would they be ashamed of me? Secondly, ask yourself this question: where is this coming from? When I say this on a post or a tweet, where is this coming from? Posts or tweets that are fueled by anger are almost never good. Posts fueled by pride never are. Thirdly, ask yourself this question: have I practiced a judgment of charity towards the person I am writing about or I'm responding to? Am I doing this in love? Am I practicing the judgment of charity before I quickly send off a tweet or a post or a text because they made me upset? Am I stopping and thinking first? Fourthly, ask yourself, am I seeking to serve Jesus with this post, or am I seeking to serve myself? Would the Lord Jesus, who is with me, see this post, see this as a post that serves him and advances his glory and advances his kingdom? It says in James chapter 3 and verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown by peace, or sown in peace by those who make peace." You see, the wisdom from below is sensual, devilish, jealous, self-ambitious. And if we have that wisdom from below as we're texting, then it comes out. But wisdom from above is gentle and peaceable and kind and easily to be entreated. And that's how we serve the Lord in our human relationships with one another, and even in our texting relationships with one another. So remember that you should use your words wisely. And then here's another way that we can serve Jesus as we're using our social media and technology. Remember the biblical principle of self-control. Self-control is a fruit of God the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. And James chapter 1, verse 19 tells us this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." The fruit of the Spirit is self-discipline. So rule your appetite for the internet and social media and all its entertainment. Not all things might be helpful, but all things might not be expedient, as we read in 1 Corinthians. All things are helpful, But I'll not be brought under the power of anything, is the Christian stance. You are free as slaves of God, not slaves of the flesh. The principle of self-discipline found in the passages that I quoted in 1 Corinthians 6 and in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 has relevance to technology in our lives. Remember, being in Christ unites us to these words of God. It unites us to the person of God. The standard for us is God's Word, God Himself. And God is never out of control. He disciplines Himself in godliness and holiness. And that's the Christian life. I'm not saying that you are not to have social media, but what I am saying is that don't be brought under the power of social media. Another way that we serve Jesus Christ as Christians together with technology and social media is this: do not associate with the works of darkness on the internet or social media. And this requires great self-discipline. But remember, we're in Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can grow that fruit of self-discipline, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're born again, we're united to Christ, we have a standard for us, we're thankful to God for all that He has given to us in His Son, for all that God is, and we're also thankful for the tools of social media and technology that He has given to us. We yield ourselves to Him. So now in His strength, we can stop ourselves from going to those places that are filled with darkness on the internet or on social media. And I want to read for us this passage in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter number 5. Let me read a few verses from that scripture. In Ephesians 5, and beginning in verse number 1, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving." There's that word again. "Let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure and who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." That's what we've got to live. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We're light. We're light. We know what is good. We know what is right. We're not going to give ourselves to places of crude joking or filthiness of the flesh. Instead, we're going to be thankful to God. We're not going to associate with those dark things. At one time we were those dark things, but now we are light in the Lord. And we need to develop this and practice it. We've got to learn to unfriend people sometimes. You know, you have an unfriend, or you have a friend on Facebook, and the friend is not a Christian, and you wanted to be a help to him, an encouragement to him, but then they post nudity, or they post these provocative things, and it offends the conscience of Christ, the soul, it grieves your heart. Well, you know, maybe it caused you to go to one click and then another click and then another click. And so from this thing, you're now in a dark place and you fell into that dark place. You've got to unfriend that sometimes. Sometimes you have to drop them or turn off the wickedness. If friends tweet or post offensive things, turn them off. If the pop-ups on your screen are offensive and sinful, try to get them turned off. Be holy in what you read on the internet. Be holy in what you look at. Be holy in what you say. Don't associate the works of darkness that are on the internet and social media. Yes, God gave us this technology, but the wicked are using this technology for wicked ends against Christ and His church. But we have the Spirit. We have the strength in God's grace to not do that. And then, last of all, remember not to be secretive. In serving Jesus Christ together with social media and technology, don't be secretive, young people. What is done in the darkness will come out in the light. If any of you young people, or adults for that matter, if you've looked at things that are compromising, or if you said things that are compromising on a text, or if you've bullied someone through texting, or if you've done sexting yourself, what's done in the darkness will come out in the light sooner or later. In our world, water runs downhill. In our world, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And in God's world, our world, which is God's world, it says, "Behold, your sin will find you out." And if you are there and being secretive, you should find a friend that you can trust and repent of it and turn away from that secret life that you might have in virtual reality. Because it's not serving Christ. It's not serving the Lord. It's not the way of Jesus. Don't be secretive. If there is something about your text message or Snapchat or song selections on Spotify or YouTube selections or your internet browsing choices that would embarrass you if someone found out, please, please repent and turn away from that. And try to seek help so that you will not be caught up in that kind of world. So, brothers and sisters, remember to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't bully or sext or lie, but live as becomes a Christian. One way you can be distinctively different from the world while using your device is to think of others more highly than yourself. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous." The Lord Jesus Christ always treated people as important, more important than Himself. So we can be courteous in how we use our social media. We can be godly and Christ-like, living our lives, even in this area, under the Lord. Social media and the internet are a tool. They are a gift from God. And we are to give Him thanks for that gift. You are part of God's world. Creation, including technology, is to be used for His glory. You have a responsibility, just as the farmer or chemist or surgeon has a responsibility to use technology for God's glory. You are a Christian by God's grace. You have been reclaimed and you've been restored and you're being restored. And you can now bring technology and social media under the dominion of Jesus Christ. We are not under bondage to sin. In Jesus, we are free from sin. And so let us learn to live out who we are again and practice the self-discipline and godliness, even in this very important area of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy towards us. We thank You, God, for the things that You've given to our lives to help us. We as pastors and elders and Bible students, we're so thankful for programs like Logos and Bible Works And so thankful for the other Bible programs that your children have designed that are so helpful. We want to thank you, dear God in heaven, for the contact list that we have, the friends that we have, and how we can keep in contact with them to encourage them and to give them a Bible verse or to send them a scripture so that they might think about you. We thank you how we have our businesses perhaps on the internet, and that has helped us. We thank you for the research that we can do as students. There are so many great and wonderful things that occur because of this gift you have given to us. But we pray that you would please help us to live our lives underneath your banner, even in this area, to use these things of technology and social media in thankfulness to you, in gratitude to you, with holiness before you. And we know that that will then make a difference to the people that we're in contact with, because they won't hear swear words from us. They won't hear bullying from us. There won't be compromising pictures sent from us. There'll be kind words and gracious pictures and encouraging posts that help us to stay in contact and encourage one another. Oh Lord, will you help us? We know you will. For we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. And nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you promise that what you have started in us, you will complete until the day of redemption. And even in this area, you will help us to grow. And so we yield ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you, Holy Spirit of God. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen.